This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the men and women who make the race cars go around the racetrack. We are having a ball and a very, very special edition here today. I'm Steve Post, Pit Road Reporter for Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon, 25-time and championship-winning crew chief. And Todd, today we are going to go throwback as well. Everything is throwback this week. We're going to talk to 2012 NASCAR Hall of Famer Dale Inman.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. It's he's iconic, right?
Oh, iconic. He might undervalue the word iconic.
Eight-time Cup champion crew chief. That's impressive to
me. Yes, it is.
And not only the seven with Richard, but he threw one in there with Terry Labonte in 1984 as well. It'd be good to talk to him about that. What a wealth of knowledge. I've got an opportunity at Legacy Motors Club to. Yeah. To be around him and just to experience a little bit more of Dale than just the firm handshake you get. And just, he's so in tune, still in tune with the cars and what's going on. He and Richard both, it's going to be a great little interview.
It'll be a great interview. That is for sure. Speaking of great, Kansas did not disappoint this weekend.
No, it didn't.
Gosh. We had it all. I mean, we had great racing on the racetrack, a little drama at the last lap, a little drama after the last lap, pit strategy, tire management, guys with tires, without tires. Todd, crew chief, race car driver, race fan, radio guy, this one had something for everybody.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And, you know, we talked about this race last year being run up the wall, and Kurt Busch won this race because he could get off the wall. It looked like all those crew chiefs pay attention.
Yeah.
We had race cars everywhere. I don't feel like we ever saw the cars married to the wall like we've seen in the past. You know, some would get there, one or two of them, but had racing all over the racetrack. You know, a great
battle at the end.
Oh, my. The battle at the end. And that's racing, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my opinion. That's just racing. My opinion, I feel pretty strongly about this. Denny was trying to pull the Kyle Larson back. He was trying to stack air on him. He tried it a couple laps earlier, didn't get him far enough back, so he knew he had to do it aggressively. Kyle kind of rubbed the wall, came off. That's a racing deal right there. But, I mean, for us on the radio side, it was a great, there wasn't a lack of any time.
Yeah.
It was racing all day long.
Dave Moody, Mike Bagley, Alex, and Jeff, man, they had their tongues hanging out after this one because it was a lot of things to talk about.
I couldn't find a place to put a word in. I didn't want to interrupt the great race that was going on.
That's it. A lot of times we have races, we go a little real quick behind the scenes here. Like a Talladega race is very turn friendly. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't have much going on pit road. Usually we get to these intermediate tracks. There's a lot of ways for a pit road to interject, especially a track like this that's worn out with tire strategy. I didn't want to interject. It's like, racing is so good. It was just phenomenal. I want to touch on a couple of people real quick, a couple of stories we've been just tracking along the way. When I look at Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, of course they get the win. We have talked so much about the speed of this race car, Todd, and the lack of execution over the course of a race. They executed on Sunday. Look what happened.
They did. They definitely put it all together. And the one kind of little bit of a faux pas they had on pit road, Denny owned it.
Yeah.
Denny drove in, locked the front tire, slid the nose close to the wall. Jackman couldn't get the jack on the left side, had to double pump it. But Denny, as critical as he's been of his pit crew and their performance and their execution, he came on the radio. They went from first to sixth, I think, that cycle. Yep. And he said, guys, that's on me. And I own it, apologize for it, and stepped up. And they put a solid day together. They weren't lightning fast, but that's not what they needed to do.
Yeah.
They put together 10-second pit stops all day long outside of that one that Denny put him in a little tight spot. That's what they needed to do. Chris Gabehart had a great race car. I feel like made a really good call on taking stickers there at the last time.
Right.
He took stickers with 58 to go. We'd had 8 cautions in the last 100 laps.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
It was his last set of stickers.
That's putting them out there,
I think Martin Truex could have raced with him. James Small played the other side of it. And I like that with an organization. He put his scuffs on, kept a set of stickers. if we had a caution anywhere from like 15 laps later to the 15 laps to go, there's about a 25, 30 lap window. He was going to be sitting pretty.
Watch that 19 car come forward.
So it was cool to see that. Lots of stuff going on. Phenomenal race.
Another note I wanted to point out after this one, Cliff Daniels and Kyle Larson. Boy, I am telling you, they gave Larson a fast car. When he got spun around on the lap number five, you're like, how long is he going to be in the back? Not long at all. Man, they gave him a great race car.
Yep. It was a tale of almost two different things. I thought Larson had front run speed.
That's exactly what it was.
He had short run speed and could get out there. I thought the JGR cars, I'll group them as manufacturers. Really, the Hendrick cars had shorter run speed. Seemed like the JGR cars had longer run speed. Right. And that thing going 58 laps to the end.
Played into that.
Played into Denny. He run them back down in the last 15 to go. It was fun to watch.
Where Larson, with all the cautions early, they helped him get forward quicker as far as that goes. The other one I want to talk about is, and really it's as much a driver as anything like that, but Booty Barker and Bubba Wallace, fourth place. Todd, one of the elements that is such a variable that US crew chiefs deal with is driver confidence. And we have heard Bubba express a lack of confidence this year. That, to me, was a weekend of what the doctor ordered for psychiatrist Booty Barker and crew chief Booty Barker. That was a good weekend for those guys.
Yeah, it was. And going back to a place that he won last fall, but the race changed a little bit. It was 90 degrees and sunny.
Yep.
It's hot and slick. A solid effort for him. Really in a position where outrun their teammate. And that's a good confidence builder for Bubba.
Yeah, I had a kick of Bubba. We did our qualifying show, and I said something about confidence. He said, Tuesday night, Summer Shootout, baby, because when he came in, I was the announcer at Summer Shootout. He was one of those kids that would just ooze confidence. And when he said that, I was like, okay, he's starting to get his game back a little bit, and that is so important. It really, truly is. We're going to talk to Dale Inman. I do want to ask you to do this. Like, share, review, subscribe, do whatever you need to do, whether it's on YouTube or with your podcast provider. Spread the word. If you like what you get on Crew Call, spread the word. And that helps with all the algorithms. That helps with everything. And because we'd like to share what we have here with more and more people. We really enjoy getting a chance to hang out and do it. And we really enjoy when a Hall of Famer joins us. So stay with us. When we come back, Hall of Famer Dale Inman joins us on Crew Call.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call, a very special edition because it's a very special week. Throwback weekend at Darlington Raceway. And let's throw it back to a Hall of Famer, NASCAR Hall of Fame Crew Chief 2012. Dale Inman joins us here on the program. Hello, Dale. How are you?
I hope I'm okay. I think I am. I got up this morning and everything seems to work and pretty good. Not as good as it did 50 years ago, but I'm doing okay, I think.
No doubt. You are doing okay. That is for sure. Dale, I don't even know where to begin, but you actually teased us up on something while we were chit-chatting and getting our settings done. I said, we're going to Darlington this weekend. What are some of your early memories, recollections of going to Darlington?
Well, you know, I definitely remember being in the pits in 1951 when Lee Petty was driving, Richard's dad, and me and Maurice, Richard's brother, was about the only crew he had, you know, and we wasn't even legal to be in the pits at that time because you had to be 21 year old. So we had to use Lee's old pit passes that was the right color and slip around a little bit. But, it was still a hot day. I remember that. And somewhere down the line, we'd got some dry ice where Lee could blow some colder air on his right front tire. And I remember you could take a pair of pliers and hold a nickel and stick on that dry ice and it'd squeal like unreal, you know. So I remember that, whether that's a good thing or not. I can't remember tying my shoes this morning, but I can remember that. Of course, I got a lot more memories, and I try to keep up. I challenge myself to remember stuff.
Yeah, and you do a really good job. We'll get into that, too. But I want to get back to this piece because I think our fan base doesn't realize, you talked a little bit about it. In 51, they didn't race up on the banking back then. That racetrack wasn't built for that banking to be a racing surface, was it?
No, but, you know, just talking about it, you know, it was probably the only paved track we had. I mean, they might have been some others, but everything was dirt. And this was back, did Darlington open in 50 or 51? I guess 50, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 50, I think, yeah.
Well, see, I don't remember being there for that one, but they started six, I think, if I'm correct, they started 68 cars, three abreast. And they, can you imagine how long that took, you know, 500 miles?
No.
And, I can't either nowadays. I don't know. But it, Lee, they wouldn't know. I don't know. It was just a different world back then. But I do remember. I remember more about being in the pits than I do about the race. And I don't even remember. I could look in my books and find out who won. But Lee was out there, and I think he finished. He finished the race.
Which at that time, that's an accomplishment in itself, right? Let's talk about your history a little bit. I mean, Hall of Fame career. You're the iconic. I mean, you're what the crew chief of NASCAR is, right? Crew chief from 64 to 88. I'm going to steal this one from Steve. We both had it in our piece. 1967, 27 wins in 48 races, and you won. I thought four in a row was like, we were close to getting there, and I thought that was a big account. You won 10 races in a row that season. Talk about that, just what that spell was for you.
Well, you know, of course, it was a big season for us, And when I say us, I mean Richard Petty. You understand what I'm saying? It was mm-hmm. all about Richard. But we, back then, we'd build a new car. And then the car from the previous year would be the backup car and for different places and everything. So we built a new car in 67. And the bodies were strictly the same. Maybe the taillights were a little bit different and a little bit different in the grills. Not enough that if you didn't put them side by side, you wouldn't even notice it. So we wasn't having much luck with the 67 car. So somewhere down the line, we went to the backup 66 Plymouth, which had won, I think, something like 13, maybe 16 races. I don't even know, in 66. And it just kind of refused to lose, you know what I mean? And I remember, you know, when it got three or four, five, six summers long hour, I said, boy, this is going to hurt when we do lose a race. You know what I mean? And I don't think I really prepared myself for that. But Buddy Baker beat us at Charlotte in the 400 that year. And it would just, I'm, you know, there's so many records out there, and Richard's got some of them that will never be broken, no matter how you want to put it. But that's probably the one that stands out the very best.
I cannot imagine the feeling of each week going to the racetrack knowing you're that car. What is that like as a crew chief? What's that like for the driver, his mindset, the guys working on the car? That has got to be the most incredible feeling, walking into that pit gate each and every week knowing that, man, we've won eight in a row. We've won nine in a row. Everybody is looking at us. What's that like, Dale?
Well, you know, back then, the cars resembles what we run on the street more than what they do today, of course, you know what I mean? And the suspension and the pieces that we had to work with, it was a challenge to get the equipment to finish. I think finishing them races, much less winning them, was a big accomplishment. But the wheel bearings and the greases and the motor oils and of course, Chief Maurice preparing the motors, And I'm repeating myself, but I said, Lord, it's going to hurt when we lose a race. and it came. But I don't know. You know, you got to be proud that we made the car stay under Richard for 10 races in a row, much less win them. And, you know, some of them was, you know, shorter races and everything. But one of them was Martinsville, which is tough to win. and tough on equipment. And of course, Darlington was one of them. And there's nothing no tougher than Darlington back then and even today, you know. So, yeah, 67 was a special season, but he had, if you check his record, Richard had a bunch of good seasons.
There definitely are. You talk about that. You talk about, there's two things in that. Just from my history, you know, a crew chief through the, started in the 2000s. Yeah. So one car and running all 10 of those races with the same car, turning that car around every day. If it's just that 66 car that you were turning around, talk about just all the focus that went into all of the work you had to do to make sure you could finish a race. And not only that, but to turn it around for the following week, that's a lot of work to get done.
Well, it was a lot of work. But you know, we had good people behind us. We had a few employees but most of the championships never all Richards win. A lot of the crew was volunteer, you know, and they enjoyed it just to get a uniform up, especially when we got with STP and all that. And it was just such a different world. But you know, I talk about the car winning in 66. The week when the 67 was over, and of course Richard won the championship, the 68 season started probably the following week or even the week after in the 67 season. And that same car won, I think, two races towards the 68 season. So it's just amazing car, you know what I mean.
How do you go ahead building a new car when your seasons overlap that much?
Well, the body style was different, and it was a 68 Plymouth, and it was and of course at Darlington this year it'll be the throwback for the 68 Daytona 500, you know that, and it's the Petty Blue with the black top, and it'll stand out on the racetrack because the blue is a standout color and always has been, you know. But we just didn't have that good a season in 68. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm loving this conversation. I'm really geeked out in a little bit, but so you talk about, you know, you've been through the transition, right, of just making sure that you had proper prepared cars to finish the races you talked about. When did you start to see the aerodynamics come into it and start to think about those things? How early on was that?
Well, Richard picked up the draft in 1959 in Daytona when he ran the convertible. I remember that too. And of course, you know, they started the convertibles and the hard tops together down there. And they, on the Thursday's races, which was 100-mile races, they run the hard tops and then they ran the convertibles separate. And then they put them together for the 500. And, you know, we was kind of geared for 10 mile an hour slower than what the hard tops was running. Started to race, and Richard hooked on to a fast car, just sucked the guts out of his car, so he didn't last long, you know. So that was aerodynamics then that we didn't understand, you know. But I don't know. Aerodynamics probably played into play before we really understood it. Our technology back then was a stopwatch, and even before radios, you know, we'd done the hand signals and used the blackboards and white chalk, you know. And but I guess in 1969, the factory started building race cars. Dodge came with the Dodge Daytona with the wing and the nose. And Plymouth wasn't going to do nothing. And I might get this right or wrong, I don't know. But Richard said, what are you going to do for the Plymouth? And they said, well, you'll be good enough with what you got. And he said, no, I won't. So when I say we again, it's Richard. He got a pretty good deal with Ford that year. And that wasn't a bad year for us. You know, won the first race out, and I don't know, we should have had a better year, I guess. But then if I get this story right, about halfway through the season, the Plymouth man come to Level Cross and asked Richard, what do I have to do to get you back in a Plymouth? And he said, well, give me a nose and a wing. And that's where the Superbird come on, which was a supercar. We still work with it, you know, with a stopwatch and trial and error. And we might have got a third of what the car was capable of doing out of it. We only got to run it 1 year. And they didn't outlaw it. They just put a motor in it that wouldn't pull it. And that's the way NASCAR operated. And no disrespect to NASCAR. They're still around and strong. But it was a good year with Superbird, you know. And Richard loved the car. Lord have mercy, it was big compared to the cars today, you know. But But aerodynamics, that wing was super on that car.
Really interesting. Really cool. I mean, you think about it and just where it's been. I want to step a little bit away from the Richards era just for a period of time because there's a couple of things I've got.
Yep.
A championship run in 1984 with Terry Labonte. I think you had 3 wins that season. I'd love you to talk about, you know, getting out of Randleman and then the transition back. But in that path, you won a championship with Terry. That puts you 8. One more than Richard, I think. And you had a year with Tim Richmond. I'd love to hear a little bit about the Tim Richmond days as well.
Well, Tim, all the years with Richard, he knew the car probably as good as any of us, you know, and mm-hmm. and that made it easier. Tim knew absolutely nothing about a car. He knew how to start it and change gears, and that was about it. And I used it a lot. I said, you know, Richard would do it this way, how about it? And he said, let's do it like Richard would do it. So he was competitive, you know, and those were tough years for me, you know. I Osterlin hired me, and I thought it was a good deal, and it was, you know. And then J.D. Stacy bought the team out. I don't even know what happened to Osterlin. And then we had Earnhardt, and he didn't like the trend. I'm going to use the word transition you've been using. He didn't like that, so he left. And, you know, we picked up Joe Ruttman for a while, and he done okay. And then Tim Richmond, we wound up winning a couple of – one Riverside, I think, to, you know, twice with Tim. And that was big. And but keeping the equipment under him was pretty tough, you know what I mean, because he run hard, you know, and probably didn't understand it as good as Richard did and how to take care of it. And then Billy Hagan offered me a deal, and we ran with Budweiser the first year in 83 and had a decent year, you know. And but Budweiser was just getting their feet wet in 83 because they was going with Junior with 2 cars the next year, but they went with us just to get their feet wet. And so when they left, we kind of left us, I say us, Billy Hagan, without a deal. And Childress dropped Piedmont and picked up Wrangler. And so it left Piedmont, a local airline right there in High Point or Everett, you know, Thomasville area. And what a great relation that was, you know, and wound up finishing a lot of races. I think won a couple of races and winning the championship. And we didn't know we had it won until we got the white flag at Riverside the last race. So there was a lot of tension there, you know what I mean? And the next year, you know, I got acquainted with a lot of the Budweiser people, and they always showed up in suits and high buck, you know, and I got right in the middle of them the next year. And I said, we wasn't good enough for you, was it? But it was all a joke, you know what I mean?
It is phenomenal. That really, truly is. I can't imagine what it was like working with a young Terry Labonte as well. I mean, we all know Terry now as this stoic, you know, just consummate professional, as far as you will. What was that like working with Terry?
Well, it was certainly different then. But if you remember, the last race in 82 at Riverside, he had a heck of a bad wreck, which Tim won. And it was late in the race, and Tim come by when Terry had wrecked, and he said, have him to get somebody over there quick, because that was a bad wreck. And I think it was real close to the end of the race. And I think that affected Terry quite a bit. I don't want to offend Terry in any way, but I think once we went back to Riverside and he might have went through that place, this is just me speaking, and we got by that place and he didn't get hurt again. I think that kind of turned our season around. And then 83 wasn't good. It wasn't all that bad in compared to today's world, but winning the championship there was really big for me. You know, I remember my wife sitting in the back of the pits, and of course, I'm standing on my normal stool, you know, watching the race. And when we get the white flag, I call her up close to me. Know we had it won then, and it was really big. And of course, they held the banquet in New York City, and that was big too. And of course, Piedmont flew all of us up there, and I think I got pictures. I think there's about 50 or 60 of us, counting the crew and the volunteers and the wives and everything. And that really stood out.
Really cool. Really cool. I want to hit back to where one of the things, and I'm just that period in that era is really cool. You come back to Richard Petty Motorsports and got back in that. You guys, you know, continued that relationship. Obviously you and Richard are related, and you're at the racetrack, like, it seems like every week. How many races will you and Richard go to this year?
I don't know. You know, we of course went to Daytona, and I missed about three in a row, which Richard went to, but my wife was having a little problem, which turned out to be good. They just was taking extra care on checking her out and everything. And I stayed with her in case something negative did come up, but everything turned out good. And of course, I was in Kansas this week, and he wasn't there with his own Kyle's. He just hadn't returned from Kyle's motorcycle ride. And but we're planning on driving in Darlington together this Sunday morning, and I think he'll really be busy, and maybe I can stay somewhere where it's kind of cool and everything. But but while I'm at Kansas, they say, "Where's your partner? Or where's your cousin?" I said, "Well, he's cousin sometimes, you know, not all the time, and because I don't want to claim him all the time." When, but and I think when I wasn't going, they was asking him where I was at. So it's just been a relation that. And when people ask me how long we've been together, I tell them 85 years, and I'm not jiving. You know, his mother and my mother were first cousins. And we're born here in Level Cross, about 3/4 of a mile apart. And I'm sure we were together before we recognized each other, you know, as kids and diapers. And it today's world is certainly different from what it was 85 years ago.
Definitely was. I'm gonna go back on a little bit of a little tidbit because I think it pulls back in. I was at COTA with Jimmy, and you're at the racetrack with me, and I remember the conversation. You started talking about, you know, how limited these new cars were with counter steer, and wondering how that was going to affect Bristol Dirt Race. And I'll be honest, you were farther ahead in that thought process than I was. And I'm not half your age, but I'm 30 years closer to being a crew chief than you. How do you maintain your connection and how, you're current on what's going on with these cars. How do you maintain that?
Well, you know, I appreciate the Mike Beam letting me hang out with him, and I appreciate the crew talking to me and respecting me and everything. And I ask a lot of questions, and they answer them, but I'm not sure I understand all of them. But when I see the cars don't turn very sharp, I know that's kind of negative. But if you watch the race Sunday, that when the 11 car got into the 5 car. Now, that 5 car done a great job not spinning out. Mm-hmm. He turned the wheels. He reacted what a car was going to do with the wheels before it really acted. And I thought that was really a highlight reel if you just watch the wheels. But, and you know, these cars are so sensitive, it's unreal. I mean, you talk about a cloud cover picking up a tenth in today's world is just unheard of.
I want to play off from that a little bit. When we talk to veteran crew chiefs, retired crew chiefs, we always ask the question, what's different? Okay. I want to turn that one upside down. Are there similar things? What are some of the similarities that Todd working with Jimmy and those guys are working on now that you guys dealt with? What are some of the similarities with getting these cars to go around the racetrack?
How about you helping me with that? I don't know. they're just nothing the same. You know what right. I mean? It's just a technology race now, but everything is technology. I still use a flip phone. They laugh at me about it. Chad Knaus just makes all kind of fun of it. But you know, I can call home and talk to Mary, and that's about all I need to do. Richard don't even carry a phone. But when I want to know something, the weather and all that, I say, look in the magic box. That's what I call the new phones. And they can bring the weather up and just about tell you within a minute when it's going to rain and stuff like that. And if I had to do the technology that do today, I just couldn't do it because my education wouldn't carry it, you know. But I admire them for it, Lord have mercy. But I'm not sure they wanted to do some of the stuff that we done back in the day to make it work. You know, I could tell you some stories that me and Richard done. And you know, for instance, we went to Bristol one Sunday somewhere in the 60s and qualified in practice and got on a little plane and flew to Mossport, Canada and run a USAC race in Bill Ellis's Plymouth and come back and run Bristol on Sunday, you know. And I asked Richard, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, why do we do that? He said, I don't know. I guess somebody told us to, you know. So, and there's just so many stories. And you know, we had to drag race a while in 65, and that was certainly a challenge, you know. And when they finally let the Plymouth come back with the Hemi and the Belvedere body, we had some, I say we again, it's Richard, we had drag races always scheduled. We had to carry them out, like running Bristol, then flying to Nashville Friday night and Saturday night and running and come back and running the race. So when I tell these stories, they find it hard to believe, but it's true.
No doubt about it. You know what? I want to ask you, and you actually talked about you and Chad Knaus cutting up with you with your flip phone. In your back in the day, you know, guys like Leonard Wood, Harry Hyde, Bud Moore, Waddell Wilson, what was your relationship like with those fellow crew chiefs as you were racing against them back in the day?
Well, we was all friendly together. Bud Moore, you know, if you knew Bud Moore, you had to love Bud Moore. You know, he'd chew on his tongue, you know, when he talked to you. And I thought I could get on to an inspector till I seen Bud Moore get on one, you know what I mean? And I'm not sure that Harry Hyde and Dale Inman and Bud Moore and I don't want to leave nobody out. I don't know how we'd get along with that Hawkeye.
I am sure. Yeah. Yeah. Chewing on officials and chewing on a Hawkeye machine are a little bit different. That's for sure.
you could argue way through some of the thing, but you ain't got no argument against that Hawkeye.
That is awesome. That is really, really cool. Dale, as I look at the schedule coming up, we're going to Darlington this weekend. We're going to North Wilkesboro next weekend, and we're going to Charlotte. My gosh, this has an old school feel to it, what we got coming up. A lot has changed, but we've got three races that have been around at tracks forever and ever.
Yeah, you know, and I was in service when they opened Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I was in France, and that track had some of the history of Talladega. It probably wasn't ready to run, you know, and race home because the track came apart. And I wasn't there, but these pictures of they made racks on and connect them to the hood and put screen wire up in front of the windshield, and they made them run mud flaps. And it was bad. And then, of course, Richard and Lee both were disqualified because they spun out across the blow tires and spun out across the trial section, you know, and run the whole race, then got disqualified. But I think there was three races there. I think maybe Bobby Johns run fifth or sixth somewhere in one of the Plymouths.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating history. I just love where we're at with it. Love getting the chance to catch up with you, Dale. Can't wait to see that number 43 Petty Blue car down at Darlington this weekend. And look forward to catching up with you guys down the road as well. But thanks for joining us here on Crew Call. Always appreciate the conversations.
Well, you know, it's been my pleasure. And I hope we got through with this without hurting anybody's feelings. But, you know, Travis Carter, Harry Hyde, Bud Moore, Leonard Wood, I don't want to leave nobody out. But, you know, Harry Hyde was a competitor. What a competitor he was. And he would tell me, and he wouldn't tell Richard this because he said, that damn skeleton beat us again. And but he respected Richard. I mean, anybody that, you know, and I've been to the races a lot. I don't believe I've ever heard Richard booed. I'm sure he's been booed, but it didn't overcome the cheers, you know. And and I told Roger Penske one day, I said, we was at Martinsville, and I said, I'm sure Earnhardt's glad that you brought Rusty today. And he said, why? I said, well, but he'll get some of the booze and take them away from Earnhardt. So that's the history of NASCAR. I hope I didn't run over on my time. No. I've enjoyed talking to you.
We loved it. That's for sure, Dale. Continued best wishes, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Be safe.
There we go. 2012 NASCAR Hall of Famer Dale Inman joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us, more in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back to Crew Call. Todd Gordon and Steve Post here. And boy, I'm telling you what, getting a chance to talk with Dale Inman. We did that interview. It was probably 25, 30 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. It could have been 2 hours. What an amazing man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just an amazing man.
And where he is currency-wise. I've always seen him in the garage, but now being around the Legacy Group for the limited number of races with Jimmy. But, you know, he's in the shop. You see him in the shop. They come through. He and Richard are through usually one day a week and asking questions and just going through things. He's still connected. And like I talked about, he brought up things that I hadn't thought about when he was looking forward. It's like, you're still connected. As he said, 85 years old, and he ties his sport, the sport back to 1951. What's that, 74 years?
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. It really is. And I think the other thing, connected not only with the cars and stuff, but socially in the garage area. You know, when he walks up to shake your hand, you better take a breath.
Yep.
Because he's got a bear of a handshake.
Yes, he does.
And boy, I'm telling you what, if he ever grabs your, that trap muscle, you're getting ready to go to your knees. And he gets a kick, and you'll see crew guys, you'll see the biggest crew guy come out of the truck, and they'll be mouthing off with him. And the next thing you know, he'll grab a hold of him, and that poor guy is just
on the ground.
He's just, and that's the other thing. It's the socially interacting with everybody. You know, he just is a wonderful man. He really is.
And humble.
And humble.
As you heard through this, he talks about Richard, but no one man successful.
No, takes two, that's for sure. So great, great stuff. And that leads us into Darlington this weekend. And I love where Darlington sits because I think Darlington gives us outstanding races. It tests the man, the machine, and everything. I love that we do throwback in the spring, and I love that we kick off the playoffs in the fall. Yep. To me, that's the proper respect for Darlington because the lady in black, the track too tough to tame, that track merits respect.
And what's incredible to me, and I worried about this, what was it, 2008 we repaved this place?
Yep.
And thought, oh my goodness, we took an iconic racetrack. It wasn't 2011. We were right back to where we were. That place, I mean, it's phenomenal. And can you imagine, Dale talked about it there. Can you imagine 68 cars starting there? Heck, we can't get 36 of them through that racetrack.
Right, exactly. And not running up on the banking and running down around the apron. I'm telling you, it is just fascinating stuff. It really, truly is. Darlington, I love Darlington.
I do too.
I just enjoy the trips down there. I love it. I really, truly do. And it's going to be fun. And no idea who we're going to be watching at the front of the field, which is a great part about where we're at with NASCAR.
Yeah. The weekend we came off of was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Had speed in different places. It's going to be interesting to see where it all plays out. But love the place because you don't just race the cars. You race a racetrack, you know, up against the wall right there. We talk about the Darlington Stripe. Guys are going to earn it. This body's more resilient. It allows you to run a little tighter there. 3 and 4, you can run the top, you can run the bottom.
Yeah.
That paved area off of 2, how you run that grip strip, right,
that
there, grip strip. It's going to be a great weekend.
It may have aged itself out now. What that grip strip's going to be like a year later. Stay tuned. It is going to be great. Motor Racing Network's going to be there all weekend long. Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, it's the Buckle Up South Carolina 200 for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Saturday morning, 10:30 in the morning. Going to get up in the morning and go qualifying. Practice and qualifying, that is, for the Cup Series. 1 o'clock Eastern time, the Shriners Children's 200 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And then Sunday afternoon, the Goodyear 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series. Motor Racing Network's airtime is 2 p.m. It is going to be great. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. Fun weekend at Darlington.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one that you've got to get to.
Darlington.
Phenomenal race.
You got to get to it. That's for sure. So we really, truly appreciate Dale Inman spending time with us. And actually, all the people that he talked about his technology. He talked about his technology and his flip phone. There were a few people that got everything set up with a Zoom call, and it was flawless. And we appreciate everybody in the pipeline on our end and on their end as well, getting us, because we really wanted to have that conversation. So we really appreciate Dale Inman for joining us. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here this time on Crew Call.